I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is me. We'll try that again. May 1st, Sanford County Board of Supervisors meeting. We're going to start the meeting this morning with several presentations, and we'll start with the first one, May 2007, Asthma Awareness Month of Sanford County. Mary Ann Lee in Cleanmore.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Thank you. I'm Cleopatra Moore from Health Services Agency. And thank you for allowing us to come before you. I represent Dr. Carol, who's our chairperson of the Asthma Coalition. And he wanted me to leave you with this. He was not able to be here today, nor was Dr. Walker, and so I'm standing in for them. In the United States, there are nearly 20 million people with asthma. The prevalence of asthma has increased 75% between 1980 and the present. This represents the most chronic cause for children to miss school. In Santa Fe County, 12% of children have asthma, and asthma is underdiagnosed. The Santa Fe County Asthma Coalition was formed September 2002 through the participation of local providers, educators, nurses, school personnel, air pollution board, health plans, and pharmacists to increase awareness of this problem through providing awareness, education, management, and prevention services. The Asthma Flag program was implemented August 15, 2005 through funding from MedicAlert to raise awareness. To date, 86 schools, 13 migrant head starts, 6 offices in the county, including this one, we're proud to say, have implemented the Asthma Flag program. We've held asthma health fairs in Modesto, Newman, Turlock, and Oakdale. We appreciate the continued support of the San Francisco County Board of Supervisors in helping bring awareness of asthma and treatment to the community. Thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Carroll and Dr. Walsh.
All right, can I do have a resolution? Asthma is a very serious health concern that affects many lives, and although we're slowly improving the air quality, we have a long way to go. So thank you for being here today. The Sanford County Board of Supervisors has proclaimed May 2007 an Asthma Awareness Month in Sanford County. Thank you, Cleve, for all you do. Okay, our second presentation this morning, United Way Betty Bell Smith Campaigner of the Year Award.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jeannie Miller with United Way, and we're here today to present a very special award to a longtime county employee as well as a county employee who has been very dedicated to our local community. Very quickly, I just want to tell you that each year United Way recognizes one individual who has made an outstanding contribution or contributions toward the annual campaign. This award was named after one of our community's most committed volunteers. I know everybody's heard of Betty Bell Smith, and we named the award after Betty Bell many years ago, and I'd like to introduce Betty Bell, who will present the award to our recipient.
Thank you, Jeannie. Good morning, everyone. This year's winner of the Betty Bell Smith Award has organized a campaign for his environmental resource and parks department for over 20 years. He always has a smile on his face and enthusiastically volunteers to coordinate the campaign for his fellow county employees. He truly cares about his community, and he knows that through his efforts in the United Way campaign, he can help so many people in need in your county. This year's winner is L. Denton Hoey. Denny, please come forward to receive this year's award and our most sincere gratitude for all you do for United Way and the county.
Congratulations, Denny, and thank you, Betty Bell, for all you do for our community, too.
And thank you again, and I just have to express my gratitude towards our department, other departments, and also Stanislaus County employees, because I think we have great employees that know that this makes a difference in their community, and that it's a way to give back. So thank you.
Third presentation this morning is May 2007. We're proclaiming that as Older Americans Month in Santa Claus County. Margie?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Margie Palomino, Director of Department of Aging and Veteran Services. Today is the first day of Older Americans Month 2007. For 44 years, our nation has set aside the month of May to pay tribute to older Americans. In cities, towns, and communities across the United States, older Americans have demonstrated the values of hard work, determination, and compassion. They have built communities, places of worship, businesses, and schools. Many of the former teachers, leaders of industry, war heroes, and religious figures help new generations learn about our past by taking time out of their lives to share the experiences and to serve as role models. During this special month, the ongoing contribution of our older citizens are highlighted with a proclamation, a national proclamation by the President of the United States. And today, the Area Agency on Aging is asking the Board of Supervisors to honor and thank the more than 70,000 older citizens of San Luis County and to proclaim May as Older Americans Month in our county. I would also like to ask you to join me in thanking and recognizing a very special group of individuals who have helped and continue to help the Area Agency on Aging to provide the necessary supportive services to our seniors so that they can continue to live independent and healthy lives. Would you please join me in thanking the Commission on Aging? There are a couple of members present today. I would like them to stand up to be recognized. Thank you, Commission members, for all you do on behalf of our senior citizens in the county. Older Americans Month is celebrated across the country through ceremonies, events, fairs, and other such activities. In San Luis County, we have planned the following events. Today, here in the plaza, the Area Agency on Aging InfoVan will be holding a Senior Information Day. Please advise so you can take a look at all the services, find out about the services that the Area Agency on Aging provides. On May 15th, your board will be recognizing the 5 outstanding senior volunteers from San Luis County. This event will take place during the regular board meeting at 6:30 p.m. On May 17th, Catholic Charities Ombudsman Program will be sponsoring a walk in Grosseta Park. The special welcome will be seniors and caregivers from various ethnic groups who contribute to the wonderful diversity of our county. May 23rd, the Modesto Parks and Rec Department will host a Community and Senior Center Awareness Day. There will be events at both the Modesto Senior Center and at King Kennedy Center. May 24th, the San Luis County Elder Abuse Prevention Alliance will hold an Information Day at the Turlock Senior Citizen Center. On May 30th, YMCA will hold its annual Health and Fitness Day. I'm sure there are many other events that are planned in our county to celebrate and recognize senior citizens. I just hope that you take time out of your busy schedule to participate in some of these events and honor and celebrate our senior citizens. I also hope that you join the Area Agency on Aging to reaffirm our continued commitment to honor our senior citizens and to continue working together to ensure that our seniors have the necessary supportive services to live with the dignity and respect they deserve. Thank you, and I would like to ask at this point our Commission on Aging First Chair Jill Kravchuk and Second Chair Mary Van Loon to come up to receive the proclamation.
Well, I want to thank you for being here this morning. Margie hit everything about one number that I have in the resolution here, that in Stanislaus County there are 72,030 older adults. And I just want to thank both of you for what you do on the commission, and that this board does support you. We have passed a resolution declaring 2007 as Older Americans Month here in Stanislaus County, and it sounds like there is a bunch going on this month. So thank you, and Ashley, have a few words.
Just thank you very much for your continued support. We appreciate it very much, and we know we can always call on you.
Thank you, Bill, and for all the seniors that benefit by your continued observance and support of the seniors.
Thank you. Okay, and our fourth presentation this morning is declaring May 2007 as Elder Independent Abuse, Adult Abuse Awareness Month in Stanislaus County.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. My name is Egon Stanler. I'm the Assistant Director for the Community Services Agency over the adult programs. We want to acknowledge May as Elder and Dependent of Adult Abuse Awareness Month in Stanislaus County. In order to honor seniors, we have to protect those who are in circumstances that prevent them from protecting themselves. Circumstances such as financial scams, neglect by the caregivers, even physical abuse, most often by family members. These are people in all walks of life. Elder abuse leads to pain and discomfort, financial destitution, premature hospitalization, and occasionally death. Financial abuse victims on limited and fixed incomes face particular hardship and are subject to spending the rest of their lives totally dependent on public assistance. The senior often suffers from depression and anxiety as a result of this abuse. Society pays in the form of greater law enforcement, health care, and institutional costs. Abuse occurs in many forms. Physical, financial, neglect, emotional, psychological, abandonment, abduction, and isolation. Today's challenges are that a baby boomer turns 60 every seven seconds in this country. The population of seniors and disabled in Stanislaus County has increased as well. There are currently 72,000 seniors in the county above the age of 65. There are 23,000 seniors over the age of 65 that are disabled. The Community Services Agency, who is charged with the mandate to receive and investigate these referrals, has 12 social workers, one district attorney, assistant district attorney, one public health nurse on staff. In the last complete year, we received 2,043 referrals. We've seen the number of referrals increase by 9% each year for the last 3 years. We are struggling to keep up with the same number of staff we had when we started the program in 1999. Our successes. Number of investigations in 2006, and this does not include the very complex financial abuse investigations that we have concluded, are 1,100, which is a total of 1,700 investigations that we completed this last year. Prosecutions just since January has been 17. Restraining orders in 2006, 57. On one day, APS protected $152,000 in assets. That's just taking one day of financial abuse and adding up what the costs were. During the heat crisis last summer and the cold spell last winter, we were able to mobilize all of the adult services staff to check in on the 5,700 clients that we served in our adult programs. We were able to accomplish this in addition to our regular work schedules only through the use of excessive overtime. Through collaboration, we have a broad community effort that helps inform and educate the county citizens about elder and dependent adult abuse. Without the partners involved in the Stanislaus Elder Abuse Prevention Alliance, we would be unable to do our job of investigating abuse. These partners are the Area Agency on Aging, California Rural Legal Assistance, Health Care Insurance, Counseling and Advocacy Program, District Attorney's Office, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Stanislaus Ombudsman Program, the Office of the Public Guardian, Stanislaus County Public Health Department, and the law enforcement organizations in this county, many of which are part of CEPA, and the many private community organizations like Catholic Charities. We are therefore here to present the resolution proclaiming May 2007 as Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Awareness Month to CEPA, which brings all of these partners together in one unified effort. Monica Ramos is here to receive the proclamation in the name of CEPA and all of the partners.
CEPA is just a wonderful and very much needed organization. I had the opportunity to attend a luncheon here recently, and just amazing work that's done. You know, I made a point about the 72,000 older adults we have in the last presentation, and when you look at the number of cases we get, it's outrageous, and we need to bring as much awareness as we can to the problems, and so that everybody recognizes and keeps an eye out. It's so great, the collaborations that I've seen from bank institutions that are always looking out, and just the neighbors who look out for one another. So thank you for what you do for CEPA. The Board of Supervisors has proclaimed May 2007 to Stanislaus County Elder Abuse Awareness Month here in Stanislaus County.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you, very much. In the last year since I've been with Catholic Charities, I have really come to appreciate the value of CEPA, and I'm sure most of you do and have more experience or longer experience in connection with this, but we have a real gem in Stanislaus County, and every county in the state does not have a CEPA, does not have the same collaboration with all of the partners that Egan just mentioned. And, you know, you look at it, and it translates into efficiencies, it translates into tax savings, it translates into better service for the seniors in our community, and so I think we can all be very proud.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the next segment of our agenda, public comment from the floor. I have one specific request to address the board, Frank Morales.
How you doing? Hey, just to let you know, I have a loud voice. I got a little handicap with my ears, so I'm a loud person. So I don't want you guys to freak out like yesterday and have these guys call the cops on it. All right. Yesterday, I went with my family to get a passport. When I walked in the door, right off the bat, the lady started asking me questions. I said, no, I'm fine. I know what lines to do. It's not the first time I got passport. I got three kids. Now, she was sort of telling me that I was late. I was there about 3:05. They say they close at 3. I've been there at 3:30, got a passport. No problem. All right? She called the supervisor, came out, she talked to me. I said, I want to file a complaint on that. Because I could not believe that when I first walked in, I was stereotyped. Maybe it's my mustache, maybe it's the color of my skin, I don't know. But then the supervisor gives me a form in Spanish. Do I look like I speak Spanish? If I was blonde head, blue eyes, then she would have given me a Spanish one. So I waited patiently with my family. When I got up to the clerk, I said, could you tell that supervisor to give me one in English? You know, I'm trying to file a complaint here. I am a loud person, I admit. I've been in construction for 27 years around equipment. You have to have a loud voice to tell somebody to move out of the way if you have to. Now, looking around the place here, I see all of you guys are in a different type of trade than I am. There's people out there with soft voices, people with loud voices. I just happen to be one with a loud voice and a little bit of hearing problem. The supervisor came, gave me one in English, sort of cocky. And then a gentleman walks and gets in my face, and I said, you're within my private space. Back off. Right? The supervisor gives it to me, takes me to the corner, talks to me, I thought I resolved it. I had the form. I was going to fill it out after I was done with the clerk. Next thing I know, I got four officers surrounding me. One officer walks up to me and says, I need to talk to you. I said, I've done nothing wrong. All I wanted to do was file a complaint the way I was mistreated. Next thing you know, he takes me to the side and starts talking to me. Another officer comes in and says, don't talk to him, talk to me. And I said, well, wait a minute. He started the conversation. Both officers were arguing. There was a sergeant present. He didn't do anything. One officer said, well, talk to me or I'll arrest you. Now, I'm hoping he should arrest me because it is bull that they do that to me, especially I didn't do anything. All I wanted to do was file a complaint. And one in English, not in Spanish. Okay. Now, I was told that the board of supervisors is in charge of that department. Well, oversees that department. What are you guys going to do when incidents like this happen? Okay. And the sergeant was there, and the sergeant did not intervene and told both officers, wait a minute, I'm in charge, I'm the sergeant. One officer says, talk to me, the other one says, talk to him. Next thing you know, he's like, you talk to me or I'll arrest you. I'm confused. There's two officers trying to talk to me. Okay. After it was all done, they talked to me, I got what I wanted, and I left. I went home, and I called Modesto PD. I talked to the sergeant. He says, I understand that was not professional of the officers. I said, is there a complaint form that I can fill? He says, well, I already talked to the officers. They should have not argued in front of you. The officer that started talking to you should have finished it instead of the other officer telling you to talk to him. So I was confused in there. My problem is, what about if it would have been a teenage boy kind of confused with both officers? He would have jerked. He would have did something. He could have got hurt. Now, I want the board of supervisors to understand that I will fill this paper out, and I will hand it to you guys. That way, I do not get arrested for filing a complaint. Now, I also have a hearing problem. Some officers, he told me that my live voice will get me in trouble. Columbine. That doesn't have nothing to do with me. Okay? I have a hearing problem. I even told him, I said, you know, I've been around equipment for 27 years. You lose your hearing. You have to be loud around equipment. I never wore earplugs until I got older, until OSHA started enforcing it. Now, he says that loud voice will get you arrested. Somebody needs to educate these officers on that part, a handicap, that there are people with soft voices. I could see in this room there's a lot of people with soft voices. I'm not one of them. That's why I wanted to bring it up to your view that I'm a loud person because of the kind of work that I do and my handicap. That's all I got to say.
Very good.
And who would I drop this off with?
You can drop it with our clerk here. This is public comment from the floor. Anybody else wishes to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda? Ms. Lungergan, did you want to comment? Lee Lungergan, our county clerk.
Chairman O'Brien and board members of the board, I'd like an opportunity to respond just really briefly to the gentleman's comments. And indicate that risk management was immediately called. My staff was unfortunately quite fearful of this gentleman. They called the police, and a full investigation is being conducted at this point in time. And once that is completed, I will be happy to turn that over to the board. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for being here this morning. Anybody else wish to address the board on any issue that's not on the agenda? Seeing no one, will move to consent calendar. Is there any items that any board member wishes to pull for a discussion or separate vote? Is there a motion to adopt consent calendar?
Also moved.
Motion by Supervisor Mayfield.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Seeing that we're past the time of 9:15, we have a scheduled matter at 9:15. Approval of the Community Development Block Grant Consolidated Plan for fiscal years 2007 through 2012.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien. I'm Ron Freitas, Director of Planning Community Development. And with me this morning is Aaron Farnan. Aaron has prepared the plan and also, along with the committee, chosen the items that are going to be funded. So with that, I'll turn it over to Aaron for the presentation and public hearing.
Which
Chairman O'Brien and members of the board. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Aaron Flynn, Associate Planner. Today I'm going to present the consolidated plan through 07 through 2012. Thank you. You probably haven't done this much. And the annual action plan for 07, 08. The con plan projects forward over the next 5 years numbers of people we plan to serve through housing projects, infrastructure, things of that nature, as well as public service programs. Specifically, the 07-08 action plan specifically designs what we plan to do over the next fiscal year. For the consortium, it's made up of an unincorporated area of Stanislaus County, 5 cities of Oakdale, Waterford, Ceres, Patterson, and Newman. Within the unincorporated area and those 5 cities, the funds are supposed to address 3 specific areas. They have to directly benefit low and moderate income people, have to prevent or eliminate slum or blighting conditions, or meet a particular urgent community need within the consolidated plan in that area. The next slide here just shows an example of what we were funded the last fiscal year, which ends at the end of this June, and what we are funded for this coming year with the approved adoption of this plan. A breakout of those funds, it's approximately just over $2.5 million. Of those, we set aside just over 10% for administration. We set aside just over 10% for public services. And those are distributed based on panel recommendations and scoring criteria presented to us by representatives throughout the county. As well, $60,000 is set aside for fair housing and economic development related activities. The remaining amount of those funds are distributed based on a poverty baseline, and the rest are distributed based on population and poverty within the 5 cities and unincorporated areas, and that leaves that $1.8 million. Of those funds, they're distributed to Stanislaus County unincorporated areas, $488,000, City of Ceres, $314,000, City of Newman, $286,000, City of Oakdale, $265,000, City of Patterson, $266,000, almost $267,000, Waterford, $270,000, and that brings us to that total. Each one of these cities and an unincorporated area focus those funds on an infrastructure-related project within the low-income area of those respective communities. The other amount of funds we received is emergency shelter grant funds, and those come from the federal government, Housing and Urban Development, and it's used towards activities directly related to the homeless population. And there's 4 categories that that money can be distributed to. It's included renovation and rehab, and it has to be used for a homeless facility. Next category is homeless prevention, and that's any activity that helps prevent families from becoming homeless or individuals. An example would be a voucher program where it would help assist people with rent if they're in jeopardy of becoming homeless. The other area is called essential services, and that's directly related to those providing services at a homeless facility. And we're allowed to set aside 5% of the total for administrative-related expenses. Of that total, we set aside just over 10% for public service applications, and we have a panel that was representing the 5 cities as well as unincorporated area, as well as a member of the CEO's office. And of those recommendations, before you are the nonprofits that are recommended for funding. Those include Children's Crisis Center. They have youth programs serving youth who are in danger or are experiencing domestic violence. Catholic Charities, they have a senior transportation program. They also have a workforce development program. Community Housing and Shelter Services in the west side of Patterson has a youth facility, and they offer services for children's activities. DRAIL, or Disabilities Resource Agency, has an assistive technology program that assists people to become more independent. We also have Healthy Aging. They offer a senior exercise program to help those that need more mobility. There's a Parent Resource Center in Oakdale. They offer a youth-related program as well as Second Harvest. They have a food assistance program to serve all those within the unincorporated areas of 5 cities of the consortium. The Saladia Union School District has a parent and child reading program. It helps children that are in need of extra help to get up to standards to be prepared for school. Catholic Charities also has an elder abuse program, as was mentioned in the previous presentation. We hope to assist them as well in that endeavor. American Red Cross has a safety training program to help certify people in CPR and first aid. The Ark of Stanislaus is a senior meals program that serves the senior population in need of food assistance. Westside Food Pantry is also a food assistance program for the west side of in Patterson and Wesley, that area. And it is an all-volunteer staff, and we just provide funds to help with food. Finally, we have the domestic violence program, Haven's Women's Shelter, and we hope to assist them too. With the emergency shelter grant funds, there's 5 agencies that we recommend for funding. Those are Salvation Army Homeless Shelter. They need assistance in rehabilitating their roof to bring it up to standard. Redwood Family Center, administered by Interfaith Ministries. It's a program for single mothers with children to help them become independent. Santa Fe Project helps transition homeless families from being homeless to having housing at the end of the program. Community Housing Shelter Service is an example of the assistance voucher program to prevent people from becoming homeless. And the final program is Guardians House Shelter Program, which is centered in Oakdale, and they assist children that have parents that are involved in domestic violence, helps create a stable environment there for them. And that's funding for emergency shelter grants. That's a general overview of the program. We've come to the board to ask for your approval and also open up a public comment period if there's anyone that would like to make comments.
Are there any questions of staff? Okay, I have one specific request to speak this morning, Anita Chapa.
Good morning, gentlemen and Mr. Chairman. I'm Anita Chapa, and I reside at 1125 Inyo Street in South Modesto. I'm also the recording secretary for the South Modesto MAC. Good morning, Mr. DeMartini. I come before you because there seems to, in our estimation, and I'm referring to the MAC board, we have a lot of problems in South Modesto, but I think most of the time the people hear of the gangs and the gang fights and some that are killed out in the area. But there are a lot of good people in South Modesto who are trying to raise their children as best they can. They're very conscientious. I see a lot of good parenting going on in the South Modesto area. We sent a letter to Mr. Freitas in April, I believe, and I believe that each of you have a copy of that. Along with that, we also included a form that has all of the goals set by the South Modesto MAC for the South Modesto area, which includes Shackelford and the Park Lawn and Bret Hart. I myself live in the Bret Hart area. And all of us, the 5 members of the MAC board, have done a lot to try to get funds for our area. I'm going to digress from what I'm saying for just a moment to give you an example of what I'm basically talking about. And I know that Mr. DeMartini has already heard this, but my husband has lived in the area almost 47, 48 years on Inyo. He raised 6 children there. His oldest child is 45. 10 years ago, we finally got sewers in the area, and 2 years ago, finally got lighting. So if you subtract the 10 years ago when that was implemented from the 40-some years that he has lived there and his oldest child being 45, that leaves 35 years where people in the Bret Hart area, in the Park Lawn area, in the Shackelford area, paid their property taxes and got very little, if anything, in return, because nothing has really been done in those areas in all of that time. Granted that none of you were on the board at that time, but I believe that you who are on the board now have the opportunity to correct that. In the Bret Hart area especially, we desperately need sidewalks. I have only lived there for 3.5 years, and it was like I had moved to a third world country. If you could just come to any of the areas in South Modesto when it has rained really hard, and I'm not talking puddles, I am talking like a river running down the street, and the sides, since there are no curbs and gutters, are just muddy. And I recall that the first time after I moved to the area, I'm sitting at my kitchen window and I see these small children wading through water, and I see mothers trying to walk their children to school in all of that. And all of a sudden, the children turn facing the house and turn their back to the road, and they have this look on their face, and I wondered what was going on. While there was a truck or a school bus or a car coming, and they knew that they were going to get splashed and get all wet and be all wet, dirty, and muddy by the time they got to school. I know that the state of California mandates that a child needs to go to school until they're at least 16 and perhaps an alternative school after that. But children should not be forced to go to school under the conditions that the children in our areas have to go to school. It is pathetic. You would not allow your children to attend school or live in the conditions that some of the children live in. And I'm not talking about in their own home, or I'm talking about the conditions that exist outside of the home. Something does need to be done. There are people, like in the Park Lawn area, who still have sewers, septic tanks, and need sewers. And there is a great need. On the block grant that Mr. Freitas referred to and the expenditures, I would like for the board to seriously consider doing something for South Modesto. They say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I intend to continue to be that squeaky wheel for South Modesto, as the other members on the board also. We are determined that we are going to make a difference. And with your help and with your cooperation, we can do that. But obviously, it takes money, and every time we attempt to do something, we hear there is no money. I understand that there's a lot of expenditures. But there always appears to be money for the things that the board wants to fund. I read in the paper, I believe a day or two ago, that Janice Keating, who's on the council, made a statement because she was against the sidewalks at the Gallo Center initially, that they would help the people because people walking in downtown Modesto would be walking on the sidewalks. Well, that's all good and true, but sidewalks would help a lot more people and children in South Modesto. And I think that children need to be a priority, and they don't seem to be. I am appalled that these conditions exist in this time, in this era, because children should not have to grow up like that. It does remind me of that commercial that you see on TV, the little girl walking through dirt and starving, and the gentleman appealing for, like, foster parenting. That's what we sort of have to contend with in South Modesto. I am surrounded by people in my block that do care about their children, that do a lot of good parenting, and they want the best for their children just like any of you do. It's impossible, really, to explain to your children why they have to. In the summertime, it's the dirt and the dust as the cars go by. In the wintertime, it's the flooding. And it's hard to explain to children because in the city, obviously, it's different. And I'm of the opinion that children are children and that just like the children in the city have all the infrastructure and everything they need and they don't have to get all wet or take an extra change of clothes to school, neither should the children in South Modesto. And I'm appalled that this is allowed to continue, and I'm asking you to please consider South Modesto whenever there is a block grant money, because this has gone on for too long. We keep hearing, well, just wait, just be patient. Well, if 35 years is not patient enough, gentlemen, I don't know what would be. The people that live in my immediate area are very, well, they get very discouraged because we have tried time and time again to correct some of the problems. And they ask, well, you know, they take our property tax and obviously it helps the city too because they shop in the city and sales tax and other taxes. And we never get anything for it in return in regards to infrastructure. In my immediate area, we need sidewalks desperately. The Shackelford area, they have their needs also. I believe they would want a community center. Park Lawn still has septic tanks. And so there are a lot of needs. These are not wants. These are needs. And if you gentlemen would come to one of our meetings, Mr. DeMartini's there all the time, and just see what we on the MAC board are trying to accomplish, perhaps you would have a better understanding. Or in the wintertime, drive through South Modesto, and I promise you, you will not like what you see. It's not that people don't keep their yards up or that they don't keep their children clean. It is the conditions that they have to live in outside of their home, and that should not be permitted. As I stated, this is not a third world country, and our children should not have to put up with that. And so I ask you again to please consider a fund of some sort to help South Modesto. It is desperately needed, and it would be greatly appreciated. And I just have one more thing I want to mention. I understand that for every 3,000 homes in an area or a subdivision, there is supposed to be a park. That is counting two people per home, or two and a half people actually. And so that would be about 1,500 homes. Well, South Modesto has a lot more homes than that. And we have a so-called park up near Fairview School. The roof had blown off of it over a year ago. The bathrooms had no doors. There were two abandoned cars there, weeds overgrown, and they dare call that a park. Just recently, a young lady appeared before the MAC board, in fact, our last meeting, and said that now they're mowing it, and now they put a roof on the bathroom and doors in the bathroom and what have you. Well, I would also ask you to consider, for one thing, that park is too far away for children to walk. They could ride their bikes to it. But it is, when school is not in, because it's near Fairview School, it's not an area where the children are going to go. It might be, may I suggest, a better idea to sell that property and buy another piece of property that is located so that children can take advantage of a park. The same thing is true of Park Lawn. They have a so-called park, and some people wouldn't walk their dogs in that. And so I'm appalled that these conditions are allowed to exist in South Modesto. Gentlemen, it is time that someone cared about the people in South Modesto, because they are due the same services as anyone sitting on this panel or anyone living in the city. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody else wishing to address the board on this issue? Sir, I will need you to state your name for the record since I don't have a slip.
My name is Raymond Castro, and at present time I'm the chairman of the MAC, South Modesto MAC. And I just like to say that what our recording secretary, Ms. Anita, has said is all true. And we, every month, continuously are approached by many people that bring us complaints about the same things over and over and over again. And I don't blame them, you know. And I know a lot of them get discouraged and don't come back. But, you know, we need the money. I'm not going to dig around the bush. We need the money to have all these projects done. And the only people that I know that we can get it from is probably from the county, from the state, and federal government. And we need to hopefully get your help from the Board of Supervisors to apply for these grants, these loans, or whatever, so that we can get these things done, because we're not going to accomplish anything without no money. And I hope that all of you would consider and helping us and accomplishing all of these things, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need your help. And I also would like at this time also to address an issue that I have with the Sheriff Department. Maybe it's not the right time to do it, but since I'm here already. A long time ago, we used to complain about loud music in the neighborhood, so we wrote a noise ordinance, and we have a noise ordinance at the present time. But I called the other day about a month ago, and this dispatcher told me that they will not dispatch anybody to my address. And I asked him why. He said, well, your name's in the computer. We're not going to send nobody up there. And I asked him, who will make that order? And supposedly, I came from a head of the department sheriff, Adam Christensen. And this is totally wrong. Not only does it, you know, I'm a senior citizen. I'm a retired. But also people that complain a lot of noise about everybody else in the neighborhood except there. They keep quiet. They don't want to say nothing about it. But, you know, they're just the same thing as any other thing that affects our neighborhood. We have people on drugs, dealing drugs in the neighborhood. They're just popping all over the place, more than ever before. We have more killings in South Modesto. You know, we need to work together to take care of these problems. But we need, like I said, we need to respect one another and to listen to what the other people have to complain about, because otherwise we're not going to have a community where people can raise their children in a safe manner. We don't want our children to grow up to be drug addicts or to be afraid to walk down the street because a bunch of kids hanging around there, blue or red or whatever, you know. We don't want that. We're tired of that. So we need your help. We need the church help to help us. But they don't want to do nothing, so, you know, we're stuck, you know. So hopefully all of you will help us, because we definitely need it. You know, we can't take the law into our own hands. So we're asking the proper agency to take care of the problem for us.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else wish to address the board on this agenda item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. Any other questions or comments? Are there any motions?
I'll make a motion to adopt staff recommendations.
I have a motion by Supervisor DeMartini. Second by Supervisor Monti. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Quick question. Aaron, is this your first presentation to the board?
Second. Not as good as the first.
Well, you did fine. I know how intimidating it can be to address this board, so you did fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, item B6, approval to adopt resolution in support of the bid for the 2010 Western States Police and Fire Games.
Good morning. My name is Rick Fegley. I'm the Director of Project Development for the Modesto, California Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I'm here with Adam Christensen today to present the Western States Police and Fire Games, which we would like to bring to Modesto and Stanislaus County in July of 2010. The parent organization for the games is the California Police Athletics Federation, which was formed in 1970 as a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. The first games were held in 1967, and they were called the California Police Olympics. And that may sound familiar to you because we did host those in Modesto in 1995 very successfully. In 2000, for the first time, firefighters were asked to enjoy the event, and the name was changed to the California Police and Fire Games. And then in 2004, for the first time, 14 Western states were invited also to participate, and the name became the Western States Police and Fire Games. The games are basically an Olympic-style multi-sport event that encompasses 55 different sporting activities taking place over an 8-day period. And this gives you an idea of the type of sporting events that take place, from angling and archery all the way down to water skiing. And this also gives you an idea of the different areas in the community and the county that we are looking to potentially host these different events. And this is a list that is somewhat changing. As you can see, we have cycling, mountain bikes, which we originally down here in the valley had a little bit of problem finding a host place for, but we did find the String of Pearls Park up along the Stanislaus River next to Knight Ferry, which will be hosting that particular event. But there are other areas as well that we're working on to complete the list. As you can see, they're spread out all over the county, but there will be three focus areas for events. One of them is Modesto Junior College, the Modesto Center Plaza, and then the California State University Stanislaus, just because of the venues that those three areas can host. The social kind of center for the games would be the Modesto Center Plaza, where we would construct a village-type area, like an Olympic village, that would have exhibits, registration, merchandise store, and then nightly entertainment that would probably be themed, just to be a social center for everybody to kind of come to at the end of the day. The purpose of the games is to promote both mental and physical fitness for law enforcement officers and firefighters. But as the games have evolved over time and more different arms of law enforcement and firefighters have become involved, from FBI to U.S. Marshals, different U.S. firefighters as well, there's been a camaraderie that has developed over time, which is really helpful because people can exchange information about different programs that are going on in their communities and makes them better firefighters and law enforcement officers. Well, why did we want to bring the event here? Well, obviously there's some peer recognition on behalf of the police and law enforcement and firefighters that are involved. There's also a great opportunity to recruit law enforcement and firefighters to our area during this time period. I mean, these people are coming here. The last event brought 6,300 participants to it. These are the very best from 15 Western states. So what a great opportunity. While people are here a lot of times with their families, enjoying our venues, looking at our shopping areas, going out to our restaurants, what a great time for our people to be able to recruit for their open positions. There's also an opportunity to have positive media exposure. Frankly, the last couple of venues that have hosted this event probably haven't taken the best advantage of that. We would like to have a full program for the media here leading up to the games and then actually taking place during the games with a media tent at our village and different events specifically for them. It's a great opportunity for our citizens here in this area, in our communities, to be involved with law enforcement and firefighters on a non-emergency situation, for them to interact and become more comfortable with our law enforcement and our firefighters in a positive teamwork environment. Obviously, there's an economic impact. The last event was held in San Diego this past year. There were 6,300 athletes there. They estimate 15,000 people attended when you take into consideration families that also come. And they stayed about 4.8 days. So if you take the 15,000 people times 4 days, times what we use as a multiplier in Modesto that we believe visitors spend on a daily basis, which is $125, if you multiply 15,000 people times 4 days times $125, you get $7.5 million of economic impact in 8 days. So this is a very big economic impact and boost for our community, for our county, and for our cities, which we think is very positive. When people are spending money, obviously, they also pay taxes on that, so there's a tax benefit also for our community, for our city, and our county. And then lastly, believe it or not, this event actually makes money. The last 2 years, 2 years ago in Reno, the event made $175,000, and last year the event made $203,000 in San Diego. That money is given back to the local communities. The host committee decides which charitable organizations within the community get that money and contribute to them. It's gone to things such as building soccer fields and parks. It's gone to things such as doing play equipment for schools. It's really a win-win situation for everybody that's involved. So who's involved with requesting this of you today, a resolution supporting this this project? Modesto Police Department and Fire Department are involved, the Modesto Convention and Visitors Bureau that I am a member of, the Modesto Junior College, the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department, Stanislaus Sports Commission, the California State University of Stanislaus, the Turlock Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Ceres Department of Public Safety, and the Modesto Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhoods have all been meeting on a regular basis over the last 3 or 4 months to try to come together to put a bid together for this particular event. So what's required for us to be able to be successful in our bid? First of all, the host city must bring together a host committee and select a person or person to be a games coordinator. This individual normally is an active or retired law enforcement officer who must be employed part-time the year before the games and full-time the year of the games. This individual works with the host police, sheriff, and fire organization and is normally on their payroll. The host committee and games coordinator handle each phase of the operation, including sports, finance, promotions, sponsorships, facilities, entertainment, and on-site registration. Normally there's a director that is appointed for each one of these areas that kind of combine to become the host committee. The host committee must plan the games, arrange for sponsorships, obtain event sites, and officials plan the sales of souvenirs and promote the games to new and past participants. That is normally done through a website that would be developed and promoted out to the different states' law enforcement and firefighters. The host committee must obtain full government commitment by obtaining resolutions and letters, which is why I'm here today, obviously, is to request a resolution from the county supporting our bid. The host committee must arrange for entertainment for the participants and their families during the week of the games. This should include shopping tours, sightseeing, social events, and involvement of local attractions. We are looking to potentially bring on a tour company travel agency for our games here that would work on offering day sightseeing tours, not only with the attractions here in our area from Hillmark Cheese to the Sierra Dinner Train, everything in between, but also day trips to the Blackwell Casino or to the Park National Parks or our big cities in the area. We have to find housing for 1,000 rooms on peak night. We did a historical study of the last couple of years and found that the group actually uses around 960 rooms on peak, which is a four-night time period. We have put together a list of 1,000 rooms that are all AAA-approved hotels and motels in our county. So we have the ability to do that. We're also putting together a list of the camping areas and RV facilities within our location. We are going to be working on a full sponsorship solicitation campaign within the county. We've already just started this by going to approach the local large companies and those that specifically market to law enforcement and those that market to athletics. After we go to everyone here on the local level, then we'll be moving out to the national level, to the Nikes and the people like that on a national level. We have to bring together from sponsorships $450,000, or we would like to. The reality is to put on the games, we only need about $78,000. But to do the things that we want to do with the village and the media campaign and all the other things that we want to do, we want to bring together a little bit more money and also to be able to contribute as much as we can to the sponsorships, to the charities in the local area. We've put together packages for sponsorship, everything from a naming sponsor down to exhibit booths that will be for sale. And we are marketing those to contribute to the money involved. So what does this bring to our host city and to our host county? Well, again, it brings great economic impact. It brings great media exposure. It's a great opportunity for our community to give back to a community that really gives to us every day. These people, these men and women, really are committed to their jobs and to our communities. And if this is a great opportunity for our community to go back and contribute back to them with a great event. So we would like to have your support in our bid for 2010 for July. And that's my proposal. That's my resolution.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any member of the audience wish to comment on this agenda item? Any comments or a motion?
I'll move approval.
Motion to adopt. Is there a second?
Second.
And I have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
I believe we're on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Oakdale Fire Protection District requesting the dry period financing for fiscal year 2007-2008.
Refer to Auditor Controller.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge the receipt of the claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
And Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say that we did have our first meeting at the Westside Healthcare Task Force, and all the participants that said they were coming did show up. We had representatives of Newman, Patterson, and Gustine, along with healthcare districts of Del Puerto and Westside, and it was a productive meeting. It's a long way to go, but it was a great start.
Okay. Any other board reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
Yes, as you are all aware by now, the prison reform package promoted by the governor has passed the legislature, and it is something that we'll be working with in the weeks ahead to try to determine the implications to Stanislaus County, both relative to our corrections program and more expansively to probation services that would be impacted as a result of this new legislation. The implications of it thus far are unknown. My largest concern is the impact in the short run on the available beds to house county inmates. In the long run, is our ability to absorb the increased operating costs associated with the higher population, which could be fairly significant. But as we're able to study this in a little more depth, we'll provide you additional information with some fiscal evaluation at that time.
We do have an announcement, the dedication of the Agriculture Center Memorial Garden and Flagpole Ceremony today at 2 o'clock out at 3800 Cornucopia Drive in Modesto. We have closed session.
Chairman, the board, one item closed session. It's existing litigation, Stanford University versus the county and others. Superior Court case number 10505094. Pursuant to Government Code section 54956.9A, I anticipate no announcement.
We will adjourn to closed session.